Bro, did you hear about that lady who got tricked by a psychic into giving over $27,000? And then she got mad and she got all of her money back.
Just one, how do you get scammed out of that much money? I mean, that part's not as surprising. But then here's my question. How do you get it all back? I got to find out from you about all that. And man, something I want to talk about too is this Minecraft movie. So I don't have a problem with the movie itself, but I do have a problem with the adult reactions. Like, that stuff just be driving me nuts. And it's been all over my feed here lately. And I think we should do some bounty hunting as well as going after a cult leader on this episode of the Donut Box Podcast here on Red Dead Redemption. What do you think, man?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this thing. Well, man, it's another episode of the Donut Box Podcast. We're over here playing Red Dead Redemption. We liked it so much last week, we figured why not do it again and have a little bit of a good time. So how was your week, brother?
Dude, it was a good week, but it's been a week, man. It's hitting that Easter season, so you know Easter is always busy.
Oh, man, that's your prime time of year, dog. That's your prime time of year. My boy here is a children's pastor, and I got a couple questions for you about that because, you know, as we talked about kind of in the intro, we're going to talk about the Minecraft movie, and I'm sure that is probably all that the kids and your kids' ministry want to talk about, and that's probably the big thing that's going on right now. But, yeah, man, I first of all, I've got to just give you some props for making it through the week. I'm going to give myself some props for making it through this week. We won't say it on the podcast, but man, both of us have had some pretty gnarly weeks when it comes to just busy, some things going on. And this is actually, typically we hang out a little bit more during the week, but this is actually the first time this week that we've actually hung out. So you're getting the full take here on the Donut Box Podcast.
Also, I've got to give props to the listeners for making it through the week. You made it through the week. So
yeah, you've made it through the week. Congratulations, guys. You made it through the week. You're listening to us here on Monday morning or whenever you want to listen to us. It comes out here on Monday morning, but whenever you want to listen to us. Man, do you mind if I get into this Minecraft movie stuff first, or do you want to talk about your stuff first?
Nah, go for it, man. Let's hear what your beef is with all of this.
So it's not necessarily with the Minecraft movie itself, but what's been coming out. I don't know if you've heard about this little trend that's been going on. And this is primarily with adults. The first beef that I have is adults having problem with the Minecraft movie. Now, a lot of these people are like neckbeards that be like living in their parents' basement. I don't have any problem with Minecraft. I've played it before. It's not like a game that I'm sitting here like, oh man, like I'm gonna play it all the time or anything like that, right? But at the same time, I don't know, bro. Have you seen a lot of these people just like the Minecraft movie was terrible and whatnot? One, it was for kids. Like, it's a kid's movie. Like, it's not one for adults. But apparently there's a lot of people who don't necessarily like it. And there's a lot of critics who have been on my feed. But the second thing that really drives me nuts is there are certain scenes of the movie. Primarily, there's this, like, chicken jockey scene.
Now, yep, I've heard all about it. I've seen
Oh, my gosh, bro. Where people be just, like, trashing the freaking theater. You know what I mean? Like, people just be trashing the theater. It's like chicken jockey and everybody freaking throws popcorn and goes crazy and all this other stuff. I personally don't get that, dude. And I feel bad for the people working at the movie theater because I got to clean all that crap up.
Let me put this into perspective for you. If they made a movie about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't made a movie about that from our childhood. And they, like, they really messed it up really bad. Would you be mad? You'd probably be mad about it, wouldn't you?
Oh, but see, my thing is, was Minecraft really from our childhood, would you say?
No, but I'm saying that is our generation's equivalent. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, like.
I guess so. Like, for me, it's. But at the same time, like, what expectation do people have? Because, again, it was supposed to be a kid's movie. Like, it's not really supposed to be about all the lore and the legend. It's not supposed to include all that stuff about Minecraft. Like, literally, it's supposed to be a kid's movie. You know what I mean?
But,
like,
but it is,
I think,
though,
people had too big of expectation for it.
Minecraft is one of the biggest games for kids, and it's generally, it's like this generation's RuneScape. Like, people love that game.
Yeah, and I think, for me, I haven't heard anything about the kids. Then again, I mean, I don't have, like, kids on my feed or anything like that. Mainly, it's, like, adult guys who are in their 30s, 40s, that, like, living in their mom's basement, that are, like, just like, man, this is garbage. And for me, I'm just like, listen, it's for kids, though. I guess that's my main thing with it. And for me, I don't know, like, people would just be trashing the theater for no reason. Like, that's what I'd be seeing. At least that's my opinion on it. People would be trashing this stuff for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people get really upset when it comes to, like, their favorite video game or their favorite book being turned into a movie. I don't know. I know that's the trend, but, like, who knows what's going on in this generation's mind. But think about it. Like I said, if they made a movie about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas,
Little
boy coming from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, then you would have high expectations for that movie. That's how I view it.
Then again, bro, I'll tell you this much: I don't have very much expectation for a lot of movies nowadays. As bad as that is to say.
Yeah, but you're not really, like, a big movie guy, so I get it. But, like, okay, let me put this into perspective for you, okay? If they made a documentary, okay, about your favorite plane. What's your favorite plane of all time?
You gotta love the 747, of course.
Okay, 747. Now, imagine if Flight Sim, like, they're gonna make a video game with this big plane in it, and it's like it's not just Flight Sim, but it's a game you could play, like, on PlayStation or Xbox or whatever it is. You're probably gonna have some high expectations for it because you're like, oh man, like, you know, especially if they're like, oh yeah, Microsoft Flight Sim is backing this movie, like, all this stuff, the airline company's backing this video game, whatever. And, like, you're going to have high expectation for it. And then when it under-delivers, you're probably going to be mad.
Flight Simulator 2024, prime example.
Yeah, see, there you go. Exactly. That's just all.
See, I don't know. I think mainly – so my point mainly is it's not about the kids in, like, this generation. It's mainly, like, our generation that I've seen having the problem with it, I guess, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, and our adults ruin everything.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me. And, like, the trend with them just, like, wrecking stuff, it seems like it's more not because they don't like the movie, but it's just because they want to wreck some stuff. Like, that's what it just seems like.
Yeah,
it just seems like they want to wreck the theater.
Really what it is. Yep.
And I'm just like, bro, come on. And as much problem, we've talked about this before, as much problem as we've had with boomers and, you know, Gen X folks and stuff like that, given people at the theater a hard time, or, you know, people at the movie theater don't get paid enough to clean up all your popcorn and all your crap that you're throwing around. You know what I mean? Like, like, even if you don't like it, it's just like, bro, don't be doing that kind of stuff. People... And, you know, apparently that's become a trend on TikTok to where people are doing that left and right. And movie theaters are, like, having a full on say, like, hey, if you do this, like, we're going to shut down. Like, we're going to shut the movie down. Like, I've heard a few people, because apparently that chicken jockey scene is, like, 30 minutes before the movie's end.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I've seen so many people, like, they'll wreck the theater. And then I've seen some videos where it's just like they shut down the whole, you know, movie theater, and the manager's like, no refunds for anybody. And you're sitting here going, well, that's kind of sucks for the people who aren't, you know, they wanted to see the rest of the movie, but now they got to go pay a whole nother fare because people wanted to be stupid for that. You know what I mean?
Movies have changed. Like, after COVID, man, I feel like the movie theater just – and I feel so bad for it because, like, streaming and everything killed it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I know people like you like, you're like, oh, I love that. I could stream it at home. But the movie theater used to be a magical place where you would go and you would get your popcorn and you would wait for a midnight showing of your favorite movie that was coming out. And now you can't do that. Like, I used to remember you used to have to get to movies, like, early if you wanted.
Early, yeah.
Now it doesn't matter. Like, movie premieres are not a big thing. When a movie comes out, it's no big deal. Like, granted, like, the Minecraft movie, yeah. But, like, after Avengers Endgame and COVID, dude, the movie business has changed so much. And it breaks my heart because I really do genuinely love going to a movie theater and watching a movie. And I'll be honest, dude, I haven't gone to the movie theater at all this year, and it kind of makes me sad just because there's been nothing good. Like, I heard Snow White was atrocious.
Oh, yeah, I heard that bombed.
God awful. Yeah,
I even heard a rumor that Disney is putting a pause on live action remakes because of how much it bombed. That they're thinking about not doing it, period, at all anymore. And I'm sitting here going, thank God, man, because some of these live action remakes were not great.
Okay, but part of that was because, do you feel like it had to do with her, like, the main actress, like, just kind of crapping on the movie, like, in the press tours and, like, doing the whole political avenue thing that she went on? Or do you think that didn't have any effect on it at all?
So fill me in, because I'm assuming when you say political – nowadays when you say political anything, my first assumption is – oh, shoot. I just trampled this guy. He's probably going to be mad. Yeah, he's mad.
He's a little mad. Just a little bit. A wee bit.
Because whenever I think, like, political whatever, I'm thinking Israel-Palestine – tension and stuff like that. Is that primarily what she was talking about?
No, it was really just like, oh yeah, Snow White doesn't need a man, down with the patriarchy.
Oh, that kind of stuff.
She just kind of crapped on the movie, like, and the idea of, like, Snow White itself. And it's like, no matter where you fall on the, like, political scene, this is a classic for people. So yeah, if you're going to remake a classic, you can't be like, people are going to have expectations that it's going to be like the classic. Like, even I saw they're trying to remake the Chronicles of Narnia movie, and they rumored that Meryl Streep was going to be Aslan. And I'm like, you can't have Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep, but Meryl Streep cannot be Aslan. Like, no. Like, uh-uh. Sorry about you.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting. I think for me, and, you know, then again, like you alluded to, I'm not huge in watching movies and press releases and things like that. But I do feel like gone are the days, because I remember watching, you know, prior to the movies in the past where the actors would talk about things. And it used to bother me. But at the same time, now that I'm an adult, I understand it. Where the actors would talk about, you know, this character, and they would talk about, like, how the character felt, what the character went through, because the actor put themselves into the character, right? But they wouldn't talk about any of their personal opinions about the movie. They would just say, you know, this character. And it used to bother me because it's like, oh, well, this actor just sees it as a job. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody's got a job, right? Everybody, at least back in when I was a kid, I used to think, you know, being an actor, you should, you know, enjoy what you do. And, but some people just, you know, and for a lot of people, regardless if you enjoy it, it is a job. It is, you get paid to do it, right? And so I understand when people talk about, like, the characters and whatnot. And I know this sounds kind of harsh, but, and I'm not saying that it's like the whole shut up and play basketball kind of thing, but it's just like, you know, yeah, you have a platform.
Oh, hold on.
This is a this is an ant's nest right here.
Yeah, it is. Like, don't get me wrong, you have a platform, and and you should use that platform and whatnot, but not when it comes to talking about the movie itself. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
I don't know.
It's like you're putting your. It's like any work, like any job you have, like. You're going to have political beliefs and stuff like that. But, like, at the end of the day, You gotta leave it like outside because you're there to do a job. Like it doesn't. My boss doesn't care. Like.
Because my thing is, if I'm in the break room and I'm sitting here saying, you know, oh, I love Trump or even down with Trump or whatever, you know, there's, I feel like that's an unwritten rule that has gone astray to where people don't really feel that way anymore about, you know, people shouldn't, you shouldn't say anything at work about politics, religion. You know, there's some things that you steer away from. And reason being is so that, you know, you don't, I mean, it's work, so you're not there to make friends. But at the same token, you don't want to – people take that stuff to heart, and the next thing you know, they don't want to work with you or there's a problem. It's like you don't want that. So, you know, it's – I feel like just like in any job, it's – I'm, you know, it's good that you have an increased platform, but you can also say things separately off the press tour – to where you don't have to necessarily bring the movie into.
Any time to get this lady back to town. I got 2 minutes.
Here, I'm covering you. Go ahead and get her on the horse. I got this. Well,
there's like a million of them. Like they're like little ants. All right, lady. Listen here, Chica. Bro, do you remember that? It was a weird. It was like on the Disney lineup for a while. It was like these superhero kids, and it was an artist, like art. Sorry, it was cartoon. It was animated, and there was this one superhero named Chico. You remember that?
Nah,
you don't remember that?
I'm sure
they like skateboarded. Yeah.
Wait, there were superheroes. I remember one, but I thought this was a Nickelodeon one that where they like surfed and skateboarded. You remember that one? I think that was a different one, though.
That's a different one. That was like, remember what was that called? The something powered? I don't know. They're called the Toon Squad. Drop it in the comments if you remember what I'm talking. Our power, Power Squad, Power something. I don't know. Drop it in the comments if you remember.
The one that I wanted to say, which I know is totally wrong, I was like, Teen Titans? But that's totally not what you're talking about.
DC. Teen Titans. You always kind of feel bad for Robin, because he's like, yeah, he's cool enough to hang out with Batman, but it's like, nah, you're not cool enough to hang out with the rest of the...
Listen, he was always B-Squad, what can you say?
Oh, yeah, he was on the B-Squad. You know who else was on the B-Squad, in my opinion? The Martian guy. That guy...
Marvin the Martian?
No, the Martian guy from Justice League. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I remember
Martian dude. And I'm like, bro, y'all couldn't let Robin on this mug, but y'all put the Martian on here? Y'all put Green Lantern on this Justice League? Uh-uh. No way.
Yeah, I remember watching the Justice League cartoon. Might not need it.
I got 5 seconds. Oh, well, my horse... Dude, y'all, my horse is kind of a spaz sometimes. She's right here in the middle of the street, and we're just going to leave her there for the sheriff to pick up.
Hey, we just DoorDashed her behind.
What is like a movie or a show or a moment that like traumatized you as a kid that you watched or you got scared of?
So two of them. I wouldn't say I got scared of this one, but the one that my parents should have never showed me, and it was primarily my father, was Full Metal Jacket. I wouldn't say it traumatized me, but it did shape me as a kid.
Number one, that's not a kid's movie that any kid should be watching at that age.
No, I tell so many adults, like, hey, you know, I watched Full Metal Jacket when I was in the third grade, and everybody's like, are you kidding me?
Very bad. Like,
no, I did. But it was funny. I couldn't listen to Sean Paul because he was too vulgar.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah, I know, right? Dude, it was such a weird mix. But anyways, so there was that one. But the one that really got me, I'll say two. So there was one, and that was War of the Worlds, and that was the one with Tom Cruise and also with Dakota Fanning. And the reason it traumatized me was, well, one, I was a kid, and every time there was a thunderstorm, if you remember in that movie, it was like they came through the lightning strikes, you know, like the lightning struck like three times or whatever, and the, you know, the aliens basically dropped through that. And have you ever seen that movie, Chris? Like the War of the Worlds, that version?
Yeah, when I was like 16, like a normal freaking kid.
Yeah, and of course...
Question. I was like, I'll let you finish it. When I asked this question, I was talking about like a kid's movie or like
kids show. Movie.
But obviously Michael's childhood was way different than the rest of us. So anyway,
yeah, apparently mine was a little bit more extreme.
If you want to take it up with Michael's parents, no, I'm just kidding.
Their address is no, anyways, so. You know, I think the part that really got me, of course, was not only being worried about, you know, aliens coming and, you know, taking over and whatnot, but also I was really worried about, like, if they were to come, that, you know, who's going to protect us? Like, the military can't do nothing about it. Like, it was that first real movie where you're sitting here going, oh, man, like... they're not going to be able to do very much. You know what I mean? Like nobody's going to be able to do anything. Cause at that point in my childhood, I thought, okay, the US military, they'll be able to protect us from anything, especially cause I was a military kid. So I was just like, oh yeah, like they'll take care of it. No big deal. And
I'm gonna rope them. I'll let you get them. Oh. You rope them.
Okay.
I'll cover you. Sorry. Continue.
But anyway, so yeah, War of the Worlds, and especially those scenes where they're in, where they got like the big walking, you know, alien machine things, and they're like taking people and like siphoning their blood and all this other stuff, that really freaked me out. And then the other one that got me, you're gonna think this is funny, but like the one that really like got me for days was the third episode of Star Wars. When that one came out, bro, so I remember being fourth grade the second time, and I remember going and seeing the movie, and I really liked, so, you know, I grew up in the days of the prequels, right? And so I liked the Phantom Menace. The Clone Wars was okay. I didn't like it as much as a kid because there was only one lightsaber fight scene. And then the third one comes out, and I remember being like, oh, yes, like, I will really want to see this one. And so I remember going to that, and I guess I didn't know the storyline, or I didn't put it together, because I had seen the fourth, fifth, and sixth one already, right? Where,
oh, you didn't know he was going to turn bad?
I guess not, because
you didn't know
I
was going to turn bad, bro.
I guess not, bro, because... I remember, like, he turned bad, and that whole scene at Mustafar, like...
My boy was shocked. He was like, oh, he turned into Darth Vader? What?
I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you. I was so messed up, and I remember, like, riding home...
My brother was shocked in the theater.
Bro, I was shocked, and I remember riding home, and I was just quiet, and I remember, like, my parents were worried about me for a few days, because they were like, bro... You were quiet, like you were real quiet. And I just remember, like, bro, I cried a couple times. Like, it really messed me up. I was like, oh, man.
That's so what? You were that upset that he turned bad?
Not just that he turned bad, but he, like, killed younglings. And, like, he was just, it wasn't just like that he turned bad, but I was just messed up, dog. I was so messed up.
You're the only
and
one
so,
who didn't know he was going to turn into Darth Vader. Oh,
I guess, man. And then next thing you know, so like even as an adult, you know how like when things affect you as a kid, like still sometimes they like bring up whatever you're an adult. Even when I watched the third episode as an adult, the scene where it was just like, you were my brother, Anakin, that still chokes me up every time. Okay. Like, but I don't.
That part is sad, though. Like, that's legit sad, because it's like, man, like, yeah, like, even though you know he's going to turn bad, like, yeah, that is kind of sad, because, like, yeah, that was his boy, and they were brothers. Yeah, I get it, though.
And, you know, it's like, Obi-Wan was his mentor, and, you know, I think a lot of what it had to do with was whenever I was a kid, Because even like in the second one and whatnot, like I always would pretend to be Anakin. Because, I mean, what little kid wouldn't want to, you know, go off and in a weird way, you know, I moved to Germany away from my family and stuff, not away from my parents or whatnot or anything like that. But I kind of felt like him in the first episode of like moving away when I was a boy, you know, and like what kid doesn't want to like go off and be a Jedi and things like that. So I really related to Anakin. So when he turned bad, it was like, oh man, it just tore me to pieces. It really tore me to pieces. And so that traumatized me for a while. Like I couldn't watch the third episode for a good little bit when I was probably 15 or 16 is when I watched it again.
Those same emotions come back up when you watch the Obi-Wan Kenobi series?
Yeah, somewhat. I wouldn't say like it was nearly as like sad or anything like that, but I thought the Obi-Wan Kenobi series was really, really good. Like I thought it was really good. I liked, you know, Ewan McGregor. I think he's a very good actor when it comes to playing Obi-Wan. I've seen him in some other things, but it's hard not to see him as Obi-Wan. I'll be real with you.
Well, like when it comes to that scene in the Kenobi series when like him and Darth Vader face it again after like 10 years, and you're like, oh man, bro, like, dang, they about to square up again. You're like, bro, I felt the same feelings of like, dude, like you feel for him because it's like Obi-Wan is feeling like a failure and he's feeling bad and all that
stuff. I definitely felt for him at the beginning, you know, when he's got a normal job, a normal life, and it's like, you know, hey, you know, Organa comes back to him and is like, hey, you got to come help me get Leia and all this other stuff, and Luke might be in trouble. And he's like, man, that's not me no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I think we've all been there to where it's like there's one point in your life where you feel powerful, and then all of a sudden – you know, life kind of takes over or things happen and you're just like, man, that's not who I am anymore. And he had to find his power and he had to find who he was as a Jedi all over again, almost. And
yes,
like, I think that's something like I felt that part really hard, really hard.
Oh yeah. I felt that part too. Cause like when I went through my divorce and I took like a break from working full time in ministry, but I felt like that. It was like, yeah, you know, I used to be a Jedi, but now I'm not anymore. That's not me, dude. I felt that. So when I watched that, I was like, yep, I know what he's going through. Like you said, we've all felt.
Yeah. Say what you will about some of the, you know, some of the Disney shows that they've put on, you know, Star Wars related and stuff like that has been okay. But you know, there's a lot of them that there are some of them that are really good. Obi-Wan Kenobi series is really good. I've heard that they're going to come out with something else Obi-Wan Kenobi related.
Yeah, they might make a season two or something to that effect.
I don't know where they'll go with it because I wouldn't say they tied it all up, but I mean
they got so many more avenues. He's got so many more missions to go on. He's got to talk to his boy Qui-Gon.
I'll tell you this much, bro. So this is kind of a side story, and I'll ask you about what shows and movies messed you up as a kid or, you know, affected you as a kid. But for me, I remember as a kid, so I watched the prequels first. And, you know, of course, that's a lot different than some of the older generations. And so I watched the prequels first. I watched, you know, 4, 5, and 6 as well. But what I thought was funny as mess is, when I was a kid, it used to tick me off in 4 cause he died. But, when they called him Ben Kenobi, I'm just like, who the heck is Ben? I'm just like, why are you calling him Ben? It's like his name, Obi-Wan. Who the heck is Ben?
It's like, I wonder if he means old Ben Kenobi. You could have changed your name, dude.
Yeah, like for sure. Name.
He didn't want nobody to find you. He obviously wasn't that concerned about people finding him because he didn't want to change his last name. Okay. People just want to be snitching over here.
But for me, I was just sitting here going, Ben? When does his name become Benjamin? I thought it was Obi-Wan.
It's like a nickname or something.
No. I guess. I don't know. Or maybe it's his middle name, Obi-Wan Ben Kenobi. I don't know. What was yours? What was yours?
And we're going on, I'm going on a tangent, and that's okay.
All right.
People want to cry and complain about how whiny Anakin was. Dude, Luke is the worst. Like,
oh,
Luke,
yeah, he is.
Literally the worst. Like, when his uncle asks him to do something, he's like, oh, I was going to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters. It's like, bro, get a grip
on your life. It's like, listen, don't be talking to your old uncle and Aunt Beru like that.
Also, dude, do you want to talk about how they, like, from 20 years, like, literally, because they're both, like, it's 20 years from when it happened, like, they age significantly, like, very much so. It's like they age like 40 years, but it's really just like
quite a bit.
Yeah. It's only 20 years between when all that stuff, because Luke's only like 18 when all that happens.
I mean, I would say probably when you go through a lot of stuff, I'm sure you age a lot. Obi-Wan went through a lot of stuff in those 20 years, I imagine. I mean, just from the Obi-Wan series and everything he went through with all of that.
Bro. This guy. This player.
And then he roped me. Hold on.
I got him. I got you. I got you. Did you die?
Here. No. I'm getting up.
They hurt my horse, too. Aw, man.
Did he kill your horse?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. All right,
sorry for everybody on the podcast, but this is retribution. I shot his horse.
You shot me? Oh, no, that was them.
No, that was him.
Okay.
I shot his horse, though.
Legitimately, once you get into these player battles, it cannot, like, I'm on a bed right now.
This can't stand.
Yeah. You shot my horse. That's messed up. Oh, and you're using Deadeye? Okay, now.
Now I'm looking really bad on the podcast because I keep getting killed by this guy. All right.
All right, where are you at? We're about. This is what we're gonna do. You flank the left.
I'm over here.
I'm gonna get them to. Oh man. Anyway, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. What were you gonna ask about? What traumatized me as a kid?
He bullied me, mother trucker.
Oh, now I'm gonna bullow him.
Oh, he's hog tying me. Dang it.
Oh, they got me now. Maybe you can break out.
I'm trying to break out.
Break free. Once you break free, get up and do. Remember when we used to sing
Don't you ever sing that effing song again. Oh,
speaking of Anakin Skywalker.
Ah, yep. Well, there you go.
Skywalker us right now. Okay, let me tell you what traumatized me as a kid. Did you ever watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah, I did.
You know that the child catcher? Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Child catcher scared me, dude. I was scared of the child catcher. I was like, I better not come out of school. That child catcher. Dude, I had nightmares about the child catcher.
Really?
Yeah, I really did. I got scared.
You're worried about that, huh?
Dude, I also really got traumatized by the Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz?
Every now and then, I'll still have nightmares with her in it. Full honesty on this podcast. I will.
That is one movie that I was not a big fan of. And I think maybe it was because I had to watch it so many times.
Okay.
With Wizard of Oz.
Is only a fan of B-rated movies.
It's probably not far off. Dude, it's not far off, actually.
Dude, I'm telling you. B-rated movies this man is a fan of. It's like Wizard of Oz. The movie has not been remade in like 100 years. And this man is like, oh yeah, it was okay.
Bro, I think it's because I had to watch it so many times. That and freaking, what was it? Sound of Music. I had to watch Sound of Music.
Okay, but this so many man freaking also times. Enjoys Hitman. The movie. This man thinks Hitman is a great movie.
Lazy. I would say no, it's not great. Yeah, Timeout. Yeah, it's not great. Yep. It is not great.
You consider that
is not a great movie.
I promise you, you do. And then
it's,
think about
it's one of the 12 movies we had there.
This is what we're finding out. We're finding out that Micah's childhood is really messed up because he was forced to watch Full Metal Jacket and For the World as a kid. So therefore, his taste in movies was heavily skewed at a young age. I think that's
hey, we talked about this the other day. I don't like Matthew McConaughey, and you asked me why, yeah. And I was like, what movies did I name? I was like, man, because
he
freaking
said,
Fool's Gold and Sahara were garbage.
Yeah, and I was like, well, yeah. I was like, those were B-rated movies to begin with. If you're basing your basis on that, you can't. Oh, they shot me in the head. I was like,
listen,
you can't.
Man, it's like that's everything I needed to know about the guy.
Did you not watch that movie, A Time to Kill? Oh, dude. With with Samuel Jackson and Sandra Bullock? Oh, bro, there's so many quotable movie quotes from that.
I like Sandra Bullock. I saw her around Austin. She lives in Austin.
Okay. When he was like, yeah, I killed him, and I'd do it again. That's what he says. It's also where the famous scene goes, like, close your eyes. Imagine this and this and this happening to someone. Now imagine that they're white. That's where that movie comes from, or movie reference comes from. You know what also traumatized me as a kid? The scene Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, where Smeagol eats the fish raw.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, that is the worst. I still can't watch that. I can't
watch
that.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's horrible.
The Lord of the Rings, the movie series, is really good. I remember as a kid really enjoying it. But, you know, of course, as you become an adult, you get it so much more than when you were a kid.
It is like top tier.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. So, see, not Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, not B-rated movies. I'll tell you some other movies that I really enjoyed, and I don't know how you feel about these. I actually liked the newer Star Treks. Like the
never got into those.
The one can't with Chris Pine.
Can't give
like,
you
I actually like those.
Okay. Name some others and I'll give you a rating. From what from A to F.
Oh man, okay. Put me on the spot.
Just name some.
I'm trying to think of some other ones that I thought were pretty good.
I won't judge you that hard.
Does it have to be newer movies or older movies?
No, any movie.
I like Crocodile Dundee, like all of the Crocodile Dundees.
I give that one a B. It's okay.
They're pretty funny. I think they're pretty funny.
They're all right.
They're
okay. They're not horrible. They're not. It's not a C level. Like C is just average, but they're better than average.
Yeah. And then, oh, what other movies are there that I was watching here lately?
Off your head. First movie that
comes
to
I know the ones that you're going to like. The Campaign, Step Brothers,
okay,
Will Ferrell movies.
Probably as a movie, B+. Step Brothers, A-.
Talladega Nights,
A.
I love Talladega Nights. That movie's so freaking funny. I showed my wife's grandfather Talladega Nights not too long ago, and he thought it was funny as mess too. You know which part he thought was the funniest? Believe it or not, he thought the part where they're talking to the grandpa. It's like, Chip, I'm gonna scissor kick you in the back of the head. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. He thought that was funny as mess. He thought that was great. All right. That's not a part I thought he was going to enjoy, but.
Name some other.
Of course, I can't, you know. So, more like dramas and things like that. I thought the movie Black Hawk Down was pretty good.
Oh, that's a C.
The sea? You don't like Black Hawk Down?
It's all right. Like, it's okay. It's not a movie that I would just be like, hey, let me watch this movie. But different.
Then again, I mean, my thing is you gotta be into like war movies to like something like that, you know?
I'm not.
Another one. See, and I like war movies. Like, what was one of the other ones that I watched? The one where it was like they're in a tank.
Fury.
Fury. Yeah, I liked Fury. I thought that was a pretty good movie.
Or Shia LaBeouf.
Sad at the end. But
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good,
bro.
Well, that's a childhood movie I actually like. Speaking of Shia LaBeouf, is Holes. I like that movie.
Oh yeah, Holes. A all day. That one movie we're both going to agree on this. It's a Beautiful Life.
Oh yeah, that's a sad one, dude, but it's good.
If you guys have not seen that movie, it won Best Picture. It won several Academy Awards, but it's an Italian film. And the guy who directed it also is the star of it. And they have it dubbed in English, but like it's originally an Italian film. And it's about this Jewish father and his son during World War II, and they get put in a concentration camp. I mean, it leads up to that of like how he falls in love with you know, his wife and everything. But then it's about how he tries to make the concentration camp a game dude, it is and then the boy in the striped pajamas, have you seen that movie?
That one's it's good, but it's harsh, man. Just like you got to be in the mood for, I wouldn't say like you got to be in the mood for that, but you got to like have something good lined up afterwards, or like funny up afterwards, because if not, man, it's pretty tough.
How do you feel about Inception?
I liked Inception. It's a thinker movie, you know.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of thinker movies, one that we had talked about before, and one that we had watched, or you had me watch before, is Shutter Island. I liked that movie. I thought it was pretty good. It's a great
movie.
It's definitely a thinker movie of what do you think happened, and you know, you can kind of go on a lot of avenues of what you think actually happened, and was, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's character actually the crazy one, or was he actually, you know, was he gaslit into thinking he was insane? I mean, there's so many avenues you can go down on that one.
Let's get out of this town. Starting to crawl with posse members.
And I keep getting shot every 2 seconds by all of them. Which I really like that one. And then, you know, I wouldn't say it was B-rated. I know you're going to rate this one really low, but the one that I showed you, or the one that I had you watch, which I'm forgetting the name of it. The Natalie Portman movie.
Natalie Portman.
I don't know why I'm blanking on that at the moment.
Oh, I rate that movie a D. That movie was...
Yeah, you were not a fan of that one. You did not like that one.
I was not. Until you explained it. And then I was like, oh, well, now I can see like the symbolism. But they didn't make it clear that it was supposed to be symbolism. I didn't get it.
It's definitely a... That one's a thinker movie. Like it to me, that one kind of messes your mind up watching that one through.
But they don't portray it as a thinker movie.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There was no indication like, oh yeah, this is what it could be. Because in thinker movies, they usually go back at the end and they'll be like, oh yeah, remember this, remember that, like all that, like with Shutter Island, like you go back and realize, oh, like
when he's talking about Rachel and all this other stuff that could have actually been his wife and all this other stuff.
Or like Sixth Sense, you're like, oh, like he was dead the whole time. Like, I don't know. Yeah, with thinker movies, you got to explain explicitly that it's a thinker movie. Then it just becomes a film.
Yeah. I think I rode away in a different different direction than you did.
You're good.
Over here.
I went to go get that bounty.
I'll follow the yellow line then. Head that direction as well.
I didn't realize it was going to be a movie review podcast.
Yeah, I didn't either. But see, that's the best part about these podcasts is we kind of go off into those kind of different things. You know, one that I wanted to have you review at some point or talk about at some point is there is a movie that I'm forgetting the name of that one too, but basically it's kind of like the direction AI could go, and basically this guy wins a vacation, but he goes to this, imagine like the owner of Google's mansion out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, and yeah.
Did you hear about that? This movie?
What's the name of the movie?
Oh, I forget. I'm gonna have to look it up. But essentially what this movie is about is he goes and there's like a bot that, and they make him sign a non-disclosure and all this other stuff. It's like, whatever you see, you can't tell anybody. And he goes and there's this bot, and the Google owner has him too, but basically they're kind of like his slaves essentially. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he has one behind glass, and he, and I'm trying not to spoil the movie, but essentially he has this guy talk to this bot and things like that. And the bot ends up eventually like convincing him to break him out or break her out of the, out of like, and all this other stuff. And it's a really good movie. Like, it's a really good movie. And so I should look this up after this bounty. I'll look it up again, but I'll look it up. But it was a really good movie. It's also a thinker movie of like, because once you find out what the bot, like how the bot was programmed and things like that, you're like, oh shoot, this could be going on right now, and we could be having like artificial intelligence bots out here right now, and nobody would know it, kind of thing.
That brings me to a question that I was thinking about the other day, talking about like AI and bots. Do you think in this generation, because we use ChatGPT for so much, now it's one thing if like you say, hey ChatGPT, write me this paper, and then XYZ, but if you just use ChatGPT to help you edit, you think you need to give credit to ChatGPT or not?
Now it's hard, and I'll say why. So some avenues require you to. So like if I wouldn't say YouTube or whatever, but sometimes different avenues will require you to, you know what I mean? And so they require you to, absolutely. But at the same time, I guess it depends on what level you're doing it. Now, if it's the whole kit and caboodle of what you just did, then yeah, you ought to give it and be like, this was entirely, you know, done with AI. But if it's just like refining fine points, I mean, nah. I mean, I don't think so, because it's just a tool. You know what I mean? Now, again, if you're making the whole entire thing, like videos made entirely from AI, I think that they should have a disclaimer or something that was like, this is entirely artificial intelligence of some sort. But if it's like, you know, like you said, you wrote a paper, but you wrote the paper, but you ran it through ChatGPT and said, hey, refine my grammar or make this more concise or something like that. No, I don't think so. As long as you still have the oversight for it and you're just kind of using it to save you some time.
Yeah. Cause it really and truly, like, you should be using AI as like a management or editing it, or like as an assistant, not as like do this for
the
me.
Say all end all and just run everything through AI. Because I'll say this, you know, the program that we use even for the podcast here, it pulls and uses AI to pull our YouTube shorts every week or our shorts that we put onto Facebook and Instagram. But at the same time, it's not perfect. Like I still have to go through, I can't just pull those video clips and say, pull these video clips and just put them directly online. Most of the time I'm still having to tell it like, hey, okay, now put the captions on here. And then I'm having to monitor it and say, okay, I don't like where it ended or I don't like where it started off in this conversation. Because sometimes it'll start off in conversations where, or a piece of our conversation to where there's no context of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I don't like where that is. And so, you know, there's still a lot of oversight that has to happen. Like it pulls the main bit. And so it saves that time instead of me having to go wherever into the podcast, find in the podcast where I want to do, pull that bit, which can take some time. You know, it does that part for you, but at the same time, the rest of it still has to be on you kind of thing. And I do like that aspect of it because I feel like once we get to a day where it all does it for you, it's going to be an interesting time, I feel like, but...
Most definitely. Yeah, I was curious about that. I came up in conversation the other day, and so I was really curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you interact with kids a lot, like younger kids. Do younger kids use ChatGPT a lot? I know that kind of more teenagers definitely do, but...
No, not really. If they do, I don't know, but like I think it's already built into... a lot of the programs they already use. So if they do it, it's just part of the program they're already using. I'm going to get some more ammo.
I got you. I got a question for you kind of based off of some of the stuff we talked about. So, you know, you being a children's pastor, one, my first bit of this question is how much have you been hearing about this Minecraft movie?
I've been hearing about it ever since the trailer first dropped, which was probably last year, I feel like. So I've been hearing about it for a while, but since it first came out, because it just came out. So I'm sure I'll hear some of the kids talk about it over the next couple weekends. But it's been over my feet. I haven't gotten to see it yet. I usually try to, like, keep up with, like, what's going on in
kids movies and things like that
and stuff and the trends just so because it's helpful to know your audience, right? But I think really and truly, like, not too much. I knew it was going to be a big thing. The Mario movie, when it was released like 2 years ago, that was like all the rage.
Everybody talks about
that. Like Peach's song and all that stuff come out of that. And so I'm feeling like this is that movie.
Oh yeah. Cause there's already some songs that I've seen come out. Like there's like the Happy Birthday song and Steve's Lava Chicken song. Like I've already heard that stuff pretty prominent.
But the game has already been prevalent for
over a decade, I would say.
Yeah. And Fortnite's still going strong, so it's like...
which is wild to me. Yeah. So did you ever play Fortnite, like, at all? I know when it first started, you were still with your ex-wife who was just absolutely against video games. So I know, like, you didn't play it at the beginning. I played it at the very, very beginning because, of course, it's always been free to play. So you could just download it and play. And so I remember like some friends of our, and I love the concept. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I love the concept of just you get, cause at the beginning it was very simple. It was just, you get dropped in. There's a certain number of players and you fight till you're the last one alive pretty much. Right. And there's like a storm that comes right into the middle and basically you just get smaller and smaller and smaller. But like what you can build was very limited. Like it was just very limited in what you could build and what you can do. So a lot of it was more finding the structures around you. Like it wasn't really, it was finding the guns and finding the structures. Now it's like, man, you can build all sorts of stuff. People got all these skins. You could do all these emotes. You could do all that. Like it's really expanded. It's like they've expanded that and expanded that and expanded that. I stopped playing it probably I only played it for about 6 months, but even after 6 months, it became to where there was just too many kids. It was just like,
oh, yeah, and there's no,
it's like, and no offense to kids, but it was just like, man, okay, this is just kind of getting too much of a kid's game. I'm just kind of out of this.
Nope.
Where are you going?
Rhodes.
Okay. And so we hopped over to my friend group at the time. We went over to Apex Legends, which I'm sure you've probably heard of that one. Yeah, which it's similar. One. I mean, it's similar. But that one, there's no building in it at all. Like, it's only, like, prefab buildings and stuff like that. You're just looking for that. But it's essentially the same concept.
Well, for a while, it used to be like, I play Fortnite. It's like, no, PUBG's better. Like, PUBG.
Oh, yeah, PUBG. I remember PUBG, too.
Yeah.
I played PUBG for a while. And PUBG was pretty cool because you had vehicles and you had like some different things like that. But it was just, again, it became so saturated with kids. And like, again, there's nothing wrong with kids. But the problem that I have with kids is when you hear kids on there, and bro, kids of this generation are wild. The crap that they talk.
Yeah.
And it's just like you hear these little kids just be using like these racial slurs. And be just like, it's just like, where are your parents at, dog? Jesus. Because they'll be saying some wild stuff. And like stuff that I can't, you know, I'm not going to repeat here on the podcast at all. But it's just like, there's a lot of stuff that they would be saying.
Oh, yeah. It's really bad.
You're just like, man, it's just like, I lost all hope in our future generations. Y'all talking like this.
Yep.
But. Yeah, man. So there was that question. But two, we had talked about this in some previous weeks, but we talked about your first job being at Chuck E. Cheese, a Charles Entertainment Cheese. And one thing that we kind of haven't gone into, and my question for you is, how would you say that job has prepared you for the current job that you have right now? Would you say that there is anything at Chuck E. Cheese that helps you on a day-to-day basis, or even, you know, comes up sometimes, but helps you out at your current job?
Yeah, I think really just being patient, how to have a lot of patience, because you had to have a lot of patience with that job. And then too, like just even doing things the right way, teaching people how to have standards of excellence, like, and I know it sounds silly, but like the way that we do setup or the way that we make sure things look presentable, like it may not seem like much like for, you know, doing it in kids ministry, but like it goes a long way with people. Like when you make sure that what you're doing looks presentable and you're doing it right, like it really does go a long way. So I would say those two things. And again, I've learned when I first started in kids ministry, nobody taught me how to do anything. So I just kind of figured it out. Like no one told me what a BBS should look like, Vacation Bible School. No one taught me how to do kids camp. No one taught me like how to do anything. So I just figured it out. And I was just relied on a lot of my natural abilities at teaching and how to connect with kids. I just really relied on that. So I guess to answer your question, like it taught me how to do things the right way and how to have a lot of patience.
Would you say a lot of your, oh my gosh, that freaking stagecoach just knocked me off.
No, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Dude, it's wild. Sorry. What was your question?
I was just going to say, so a lot of those natural abilities, a lot of instincts, you think you drew, it sounds like you drew a lot from the VBSs and kids stuff that we had back in the day of maybe this is how it should have went or whatnot.
Yeah, dude. A lot of like, hey, this I remember how this was, and I remember how I felt as a kid. And a lot of it I've learned through just experience, but also too like going to conferences or talking to other kids' pastors or whatever it is. But I have a big passion of helping people that are new to kids' ministry because no one ever taught me the ropes. And there's not a lot of training resources if you're brand new to kids' ministry at all. So I'm really passionate about that, of like making, helping people out. Like, even though in this new role, I've only been like at this place for a limited amount of time. Oh, he's got a Gatling gun. There are people there that are like, this is my first time being in kids ministry because I work at a multi-campus church. And so anytime I can help somebody, I want to help someone. So that's been like a good coaching thing for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everybody why we love playing this game Red Dead so much? Like, what is it about this game that just like – I always go back to it. But
one, I don't know, man. It is fun, but two, it's just I know this sounds kind of weird, but it got me through some tough times. I think it got both of us through some tough times, yeah?
Yeah.
Because it's just like it is largely a mindless game, right? It's not one that you have to actively think a ton about. There are some games where you have to really just focus and like I'll say for me, like a basketball game or even a football game, like as much as I love those games, it's like if somebody's talking to me or if something's going on, it's like I can't really focus a ton. You know what I mean? Like I can do it, but I'll make mistakes and things like that. It's like for this, man, I can just play, have a good time and screw around. But I don't know. So you've listened to the podcast a good bit. You've heard, you know, me talk about my parents and stuff, and had some problems with them. And, you know, they've been divorced and gotten back together 3 times to this point, all sorts of stuff. And
all the course,
I don't
of
know.
5 years.
Yeah. Over the course of 5 years.
I'm
and
petty.
So for,
I'll talk mad crap. I don't care. I'm petty.
Hey man, no, it's fine. It's just, and you know, all this happened while I was an adult. And, I mean, everybody talks about like divorce when you're a kid, or like, you know, parents getting divorced when you're a kid, but nobody really talks about it when you're an adult, especially when you expect these people to be together forever. Cause you know, before their first split up, they had been together for, you know, almost 30 years at that point. Yep. So you don't expect anything like that to happen. And then
literally,
when it does,
when you called me, sorry not to interrupt you, you called me.
Yeah, go ahead.
You were like, dude, you were like, not to talk crap, but I thought your parents would get divorced before I'd see my parents getting divorced.
Yeah, and I mean it was real. As bad as that is to say, you know, shout out to Chris's mom. I'm sure she's listening, but you know, and you know, rest in peace to your dad because he's passed away at this point. But you know, when I would come to your house, I would expect, not like expect, but there would be that thing in the back of your mind like, oh, we might see Chris's parents fight this time, right? And sometimes it'd get pretty nasty. Like it wasn't like you lived in a house where your parents got along 100% well. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't say that mine got on 100% well, but at the same time, they portrayed it differently. And going back to the whole narcissist episode, my father is a narcissist, so it was definitely portrayed a certain way, even though it wasn't a healthy environment. So it was portrayed like everything was healthy, hunky-dory, everything was great, right? So I guess that was probably the biggest difference. And so it was just kind of shocking because it was like, man, I wouldn't say I expected Chris's parents to get divorced, but there was a time where you're sitting here thinking – like, oh man, I might get a call one day like, hey, Chris's parents are splitting up. And then so when mine did, I was just like, dang. It's kind of like that meme. and you know, the statement is just like, I saw my parents split up three times before we got GTA 6.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not something that I had in my bingo card for sure. But going back to this game, you know, it was kind of that, this game kind of just was that easy. Okay, I'm having some troubles or whatever. It's always nice because it's so multifaceted to where if you want to go to the saloon and gamble, you can go to the saloon and gamble. If you want to go shoot some people up, you can go shoot some people up. If you want to go hunting, you can go hunting. If you want to go fishing, you can go fishing. You can do so many things to where it's like whatever is kind of your fancy. And so whenever your life feels out of control, what I like about Red Dead is you can control different facets of it. And it's just open, you know, it's the most open world game that I know of, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So that's what I like about it. And so I feel like it did help through those times because, I mean, how many times were we able to get on this game and just talk through some crap, talk through what's been going on, just like we're doing right now.
Yep. So I like this game. Number one, the story is phenomenal. Like,
yeah, it is. It's like a movie, but you're playing it.
Yeah, I played through this game a couple of times, and every time I play through it, like at the end, I cry. Just because it's so well written. And two, like, I've always enjoyed, like, Western movies, like that Western spirit, you know, where it's like, yeah, hey, I'm going to be free, and I'm going to get things done, like, by pulling up my bootstraps. And so this helps me live out, like, hey, like, if I was in the Wild West, like, this is what I would do. This is who I would be. And I just enjoy it because it's a simple game. Like, I feel like it's pretty evenly matched.
Unlike Grand Theft Auto, where somebody could have a flying car that shoots rockets at you.
Yeah, it's like... you have to pay to play in Grand Theft Auto, and here it's like everyone's kind of on a similar playing field. And so, like, again, it's very simple. You can camp, you can fish, you can hunt, you can go be a bounty hunter. Like, you can go hunt down criminals in the Wild West. And so I've always appreciated, like, the storyline, this time period in history. Like, even with Western movies, like, I enjoy those, maybe because it's, like, the old man in me. I don't know. But, like, I just enjoy it because, I don't know, there's something about, like, that Western rugged frontier. Keep the sun at your back, young man.
Keep the sun at your back. Oh, God. Yeah, no, I agree. I've always loved, you know, Western movies and different things like that. And, I mean, shoot, I think I've seen every Gunsmoke episode there's ever been.
Oh, yes, you have, my man. Yes, you have.
And, you know, I wouldn't say the same for Bonanza, but I've seen a ton of Bonanza.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've seen so many, not just Western movies, but a lot of Western TV shows and things like that. And what I like about Red Dead Redemption 2 is, you know, you can also own property on here as well, which is kind of nice. And you know, you have your set camp and things like that. And, you know, whether it's single player or multiplayer, there's just a lot you can do. Which, by the way, did you ever get done playing the first, I can't say the first Red Dead Redemption, because there was Red Dead Revolver, which was technically the first one. But the first Red Dead Redemption, did you ever play through the entire story of that?
Entire thing. Yep.
Yeah.
The storyline in the first one is very simple. The gameplay is very simple. And you had the first one. I remember playing that. Yeah. Like, when that came out, that was a big deal. Like, it was like there was no other game like it when the first one came out.
That was one of the first games I ever beat. Like, the first game that I ever beat was actually Halo and Halo 2. That was the first games that I ever beat. But the first game, like one of the first like games that I remember beating besides Halo was the first Red Dead.
Yeah.
And of course, playing this one through, this one is set beforehand and whatnot. And so what was nice about it was after playing through the first one and everything, you get a lot of context. You know, you get a lot of context. You get the backstory to Dutch and Javier Escuela and Bill Williamson. And so, because I wouldn't say that it was just like killing people in the first game, but without like knowing them, it's just like, okay, he's John Marston. He used to be a part of a gang, and we're going and killing his gang brothers because, you know, that's what we're doing and that's what the feds want him to do. But then you play through and you play as Arthur Morgan and you see John. Well, what I like about it is you play as Arthur Morgan and then turn into John Marston to where, because I'll be real, at the beginning of the storyline of Red Dead Redemption 2, I did not like John Marston. I was like, the guy's a dick. I don't really like John Marston, you know, and it's like he didn't take care of his family and his kid and stuff like that. And I don't know, it explains a lot. Like, it explains a lot. And so, I don't know, I'm sure that you probably felt this way when you played through the first one again. It wasn't, after playing through this one, would you say that it wasn't, it had a bigger feeling than just like, okay, I'm just killing gang members that he used to be a part of?
There's a story to it, and there's a reason I actually care about these characters. And really, from the first couple, like, even John, like, John Marston gets on my nerves. Like, he really does. Yeah, the first one, I'm kind of like, I don't like this guy. And, yeah, like, it puts it into perspective for you. And it really makes you care, and it gives a storyline not just about, like, John or, like, Arthur Morgan, but about the country as a whole. It's like, oh, they're a dying breed. The cowboys are dying out, and now they got to, like, adjust to modern life and all that stuff. And you're like, okay, you feel for them.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, we live in a day and age to where, you know, of course, there's college, there's education, there's different career fields and things like that. Back in these days, there was only, I wouldn't say a limited number of things that you could do, but there wasn't a ton of, you know, career options per se, right?
Yeah.
And so if the only thing that you knew how to do was be in a gang and kill, rob, and loot, and that's going away, you know, that's kind of a, you know, not that it's a good thing, but you do feel for it because it's just like, okay, they don't know how to get out of that.
Yeah.
And that's an understandable thing.
Exactly. So, you got this guy. I'll cover you.
Oh, he shot me. Dang it.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, sir, you don't shoot my friend. I want to touch on this story because I'm like, we've been going this whole podcast, and I told you I haven't
talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this lady got tricked by a sidekick. Now, I don't care what you say. I'm going to go on a tangent about this. A lot of sidekicks are phony, man. They really are. It's so funny because all you have to do is just like notice something about someone and be like, oh, well, I can see you're a very anxious person. It's like,
oh yeah,
you didn't have to have special powers to figure that out. So, and it's always
pissing funny. Their pants when they walked into your office.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, like, so like, even when they're like on murder shows, they'll be like, yeah, we consulted a sidekick. And they're like, oh, yeah, something really bad happened in this room. It's like, no dip. You probably just read the news and then found out there was a murder there. Like, so anyways, this lady goes to this sidekick after, like, a very bad breakup. And, of course, that's when, like, those kind of people will get you is when you're vulnerable. And she did the palm reading or whatever the heck they do. And she was like, yeah, like, I can tell there's a generational curse over your family, and you you have trust issues, especially when it comes to money. So in order for you to be free from this, you need to write a check for $27,000 and leave it with me for 24 hours. And then tomorrow I'll give it back to you, and then the curse will be broken. So
now, hold on. I do want to ask you, I don't want to interrupt, but this wasn't like the phone lady, like Miss Cleo or anything, was it?
No, she actually went to an actual shop.
Like, oh, okay, gotcha.
Whatever thing they have. So she went and actually saw this psychic, and the lady was like, yeah, that really doesn't make any sense. And then the lady like kept pushing her and was like, well, like, it's only going to be for 24 hours. You can trust me. Like, if you want freedom in your finances, like, you'll write this check. So she wrote the check, and then the lady, like, the next day when she went to like go collect the check back, like, the lady had pretty much like skipped town. And so she tried to call the bank to like stop funds. And the bank was like, sorry, the funds have already been withdrawn. And so, yeah, the lady like cashed the $27,000 and skipped town. I was like, could you imagine the embarrassment of this lady? Like, I could only imagine, like, I would feel so ashamed, so embarrassed, like all that. So she tried to go to the police, and the police didn't do anything to help her, because they were like, well, you willingly gave over $27,000. You're an adult. There's nothing we can do. And then she hired a private investigator, and they basically did a sting with the psychic with another lady. And like, and so they were trying to get more money out of, like, the psychic was trying to get more money out of these people. And they got enough video evidence to take the lady to court and get her arrested to say that, like, it was – theft by a person in a position of trust, or theft by coercion. And so the lady got all of her money back.
That's crazy.
But
here's my question. How much did she spend on the private investigator fee and the lawyer fee? Because sometimes that'd be, you know, $27,000 or more with all the court stuff. And, you know, that's how some of these people get away with it, is, you know, with the time and the money that you spend in court, sometimes it's not worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't really know that part of the story. So
what's wild to me is, you know, I understand how people get scammed sometimes and whatnot, but, you know, some of them are very, very dumb. And, yeah.
Very vulnerable.
Did you want to do something else, and we'll wrap this up? But
yeah. We'll go to
Here's the question that I have. Have you ever known somebody personally that's been scammed or been a victim of fraud or anything like that?
Yes. Yeah, I have. My ex-mother-in-law got scammed.
Really?
So what happened was a hacker got into her computer and was like – it got the message, was like, don't push anything. Your account has been hacked. You have to call Apple to get your computer.
Oh.
All that. And yeah.
Scareware, like, is what they call that.
That happened, essentially.
So essentially she called the Microsoft helpline or whatever they had her call, and they were just like, well, give us this. You have to pay us $300 to get this stuff unlocked. And so she did that.
Yep. Pretty much. Yep. That happened.
That's crazy.
No, I don't want to.
You know what? The one that I know of, or the few that I know of, is, I had some family that lived in Mississippi, as you know, and things like that. And after Katrina, there was actually a few people that – you'd be surprised, man. There was – it was funny. This – you've heard the term carpetbagger?
Yep.
They still use this term in the South after this. Yeah, bro, because there's a lot of people from up north. And so there was a lot of these quote-unquote contractors that came down – to fix people's houses and things like that. And I know two people that got frauded, and essentially what happened was they said, okay, we'll fix your house, but you need to give us $20,000 up front. And so of course they just got money from insurance, right? They just got their insurance money to fix. And they gave it over, and then these people would hop town. Apparently, that was quite prevalent during that time, after Katrina. And so I know two or three people that did that, that had that happen where they just gave the money over. So lesson learned, folks. It's just like, and here was the thing that gets me though is, and maybe I'm just, I wouldn't say smarter than the average bear, but maybe I just look out for this stuff a little better, but they didn't sign any sort of paperwork. They didn't have any sort of agreements. They didn't have any nothing. They're just like, okay, let me just hand over the money and you'll be by tomorrow kind of deal. Yeah. And it's like, I understand that people trust other people, but it's like when it comes to contractor situations and things like that, it's like you got to get stuff in writing, one. But two, you know, it's just like, are you really going to willingly hand over? I'm not the kind of person to, like, I understand putting a deposit down, but the whole amount ain't no way. Like, there ain't no way. Beforehand, I'll give you the full amount once the, once everything is done with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. No, we joked about my cousin Stephen, but my cousin Stephen did that to my mom. Like, said, hey, like, I'll finish. He did some of the work and was like, hey, I'll finish painting this and this, and then just skip town. So, didn't have the nerve to show up on Thanksgiving and not say anything.
That's wild, man. That's wild.
Yep.
It's crazy. In fact, actually going back to my parents, they actually had that happen. It was a guy in the church, which of course you would think guy in the church, you would trust them, right? But, what I thought was kind of interesting was, and I haven't thought about this till just now, but they wanted to get the flooring redone. I don't know if I ever told you about this, that house that we used to live in over in Lubbock, they, there was like a problem at one point where the AC backed up and the water went into the floors. Like it went up under the floorboards. And so, and
no way
it was actually, yeah, it was actually wood. And so all this wood, all the, like the wood floor, like swelled up and things like that. And so, there was a guy that went to the church they were going to at the time, and he had a contracting company or like a construction company. And he said, oh yeah, I'll be able to do it for you and all this other stuff. And was like going to give him a discount, all this other stuff. And so, they did come by and they did fix like part of the floors, but they just did part of it. And then there was like part of the wall that they were going to fix. And then I just remembered they just stopped showing up. Like they just stopped up after a while. And apparently my folks had paid them the full amount. Like they had paid them the full amount for the job to be done. And so, yeah. So it was kind of interesting because every week at church, they still came to church. Like think about this. The husband and wife still came to church, but they just dodged us. Like they just like stayed away from us as much as possible. And what was kind of interesting about that, I don't know how this whole thing was, because I was on my way out at this point. Like I was almost out of living at their house and I was hanging out other places and doing other things at the time. But all I know is that is where, so my parents got this other dog, like they got another dog. And where they got it from was from that family, from that contractor's family. And so I'm like, I don't know if that was like the payment or like the repayment of like, oh, well, you give us this dog and we whatever, or if like the contractor's family just was like, maybe this will get us out of this or what. But yeah, that was a whole thing. But I just remember they wouldn't talk to us at church. They would like stayed away from us at church, boy.
That's so wild. Okay, we'll do a actual race, and then we'll wrap up. So there was this kid named Schaefer that I went to school with, and he and his backpack smelled like smoky backpack. You guys know those kids, school kids.
Oh yeah,
smoky backpack. So I was in orchestra with Schaefer, and I was gonna rent. He had like sold his viola or something to the school, and like I was going to rent it or something. And so I had a check or wrote a check for like $225, right? And it was right around the same time as I bought my car. And I told him, I said, hey, bro, like, don't cash this check until this date. Like I'll write you the check, but don't cash the check till this date because some stuff's clearing. Like, the money will be in there, but I'm about to get my last paycheck. Like, don't write the check or don't cash the check. Yeah. Homie didn't listen, cashes the check, and the check bounced. So so then, like, he was like, hey, where's my money? And, like, every day at school, he would be like, where's my money at, dude? And I would, like, go out of my way to avoid him because he knew what route I would take, bro. And this happened for 3 months. It's almost like bullying. But
oh, yeah. Bro, it's interesting you said that because I actually had a bullying situation that was like that, except I really didn't owe this kid the money. Like, this is – it's funny, bro, because school kind of be like prison. Like, you don't expect it to be, but some of the stuff that happens hold on.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
But I remember this kid – that was in my class. It was actually the kid whose mom got murdered that I was in his garage. That
bro, you got to tell that story. You can't just
I can't just brush past that. So I had this science project with this kid, and his mom had gotten murdered in the garage that we were doing the science project in. I did not know that. Like, all I knew was his mom had gotten murdered. Like, that's all that I knew. And so, dang, that was a short race. And so years later, I'm watching TV and there's a, like, a murder mystery show. And it was talking about this kid or this kid's mom and whatnot. And they showed, like, the crime scene, and the crime scene was at this garage, in this garage, like, exactly where we were working on the science project, bro. And so I was like, man, I was standing right where this lady got whacked, and she got brutally murdered with the hammer. Like, she got her head smashed in. So that was pretty wild. But anyways, it was a
family show or anything. I'm just kidding.
But pretty much, man. So I kind of felt bad for this kid. The kid was a jerk. Like, the kid was not very nice. But at the same time, like, if your mom got murdered, you kind of expect this to be, right? I don't know. And so I pretty much kind of felt bad for him. And so I hung out with him and whatnot. And I remember he found a TI-84 calculator, like a really nice, like, you know which one I'm talking about? Like, like, scientific calculator. And so I remember I was having this test, and, bro, I didn't have no TI-84 calculator. Like, the only calculator pretty much they wouldn't let us use any calculators besides this one, and I did not have one. And so I remember being like, bro, let me – and he just found it. Like, it wasn't his. He just found it. And so I asked him. I was like, man, let me borrow it for this test, because that was the only calculator they were going to let us use for this test. And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Well, I end up losing this calculator.
No right? way.
And so he was like, bro, you owe me like $100 for this calculator, even though homie found it. Like, homie found the calculator. So he didn't pay for it. He literally just found it in, I think it was like a hallway or something. And he's like, well, it's worth like $100. So you owe me like $100 now. And, bro, this dude, like, tried to get this $100 from me and tried to get this $100 from me. And finally, I had to threaten to fight him before he, like, let it go. Like, homie literally, there was one point he knew where I lived, too, because, again, we work on the science project. So he, like, came over to my house, and he pulled out front. And, of course, my maternal unit, being the panicky person that she is, was like, oh my gosh, there's somebody outside demanding money from you. And I'm like, shut up. That's just Derek. Like, he just wants his money from – I was like, it ain't no big deal. So I just went out to his car, and I'm like, I'm not giving you no freaking money. Like, you can come to my house all you want. And he's like, well, you owe me $100. And I was like, well, do you want to – I was like, do you want to fight about it or what? Because I'm not giving you $100. And then he, like, laughed and drove off. And my mom's like, are you in money trouble? Did you gamble or something? I was like, no, he's trying to, like, siphon money out of me because he stole a calculator and whatnot. But yeah, it was literally just like, I just kept having to be like, bro, I guess we're going to have to fight, because he kept being like, I'm going to kick your behind if you don't give me this money. I'm like, all right, then I guess we're going to have to fight because I'm not giving you this money. Because I didn't have no $100. And I'm also not going to give you no $100 for a calculator that's not yours. Like, literally, he just found it. And what ended up happening was that just ended up happening. And that always kept shutting him down. It was just like, oh, yeah, I'll fight you for it. I'll fight you for it. And then finally, I don't remember what happened. I think I found it like at the bottom of my book bag or something at one point. It was just like, here, found it. Or I found another one or something. I don't remember. I just remember there being another calculator in the mix and being like, here, here's your TI-84 calculator back. And then he dropped it. But I just remember him just trying to get me, get $100 out of me this whole time. I'm like, bro, you're not going to get me. I'm not going to get no $100. Word to the wise. Don't borrow nothing from nobody, even if it's not their property. Even if it's not their property. It's like people trash some stuff.
That's crazy. Well, on a positive note, as we're about to wrap up the podcast, now that we've talked about bullying
and negative crap,
you have any positive advice to give to our listeners this week?
Yeah, man. That wherever you're at in life is not the say all end all. And again, every time I say some positive advice, a lot of times I'm talking to myself, but sometimes it's hard in life to see, but where you're at the present moment is not where your ending is going to be. You know, each day is a new day and tomorrow might change everything. I mean, shoot, I'm not saying it will, but you know, tomorrow these videos might go viral and before you know it, we'll be super popular and have all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. And our whole life will be changed and whole life will be different. But it's hard because what you're seeing right in front of your face right now might not be what you're looking for, and you might not be happy in life. But even if it takes a while, life will change, and life will change for the better if that's the goal that you have for yourself. So, you know, just because you are where you are right now doesn't mean that that's where you're going to end off. And so keep fighting, keep working, and before you know it, you'll be where you want to be.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff.
How about you?
My positive advice for this week is just to take care of yourself on all levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, all the good stuff. Sometimes when you're upset or you're, you know, you're tired or you feel like everything is just crashing in around you, sometimes it's just good to take a nap and get something to eat. Your body was created by God, all connected. So, like, if you're off emotionally, it's going to affect you physically. Or if you're off physically, it's going to affect you emotionally or mentally or spiritually. Like, they're all connected. So sometimes the best thing you can do to help reset yourself is just take a nap or eat or talk to a friend or do something you enjoy or just take a walk. Whatever it is, like, make sure you're taking care of yourself because you can't take care of others or help other people if you're draining yourself. It's like a drill battery that's only at 5%. Like, yeah, it can kind of get the job done, but it's going to take a minute. Like, you know how it goes. Like, when you're trying to get that last screw drilled in and it's like your battery's almost dead and you keep like, oh, yeah, I really should charge it, but I really need to get this last screw in, so I'm going to take it out. Put it back in, take it out, put it back in. Yeah. Nice job done. But yeah, make sure you take care of yourself.
Yeah, I had to do that just today, man. I was I went to work and was not feeling too great. And it wasn't – sometimes, you know, when people say I'm not feeling too great, people always think sickness. It's like sometimes you're just mentally not feeling too great, which means that you're physically not feeling too great too. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily sick. It just means that you need to take some time. And it contributes to you being overwhelmed and it contributes to you being just way over your limit. And when those are the times, it's like you're not going to get any effective work done anyway. So it's time to just try to rest as much as you can. And, you know, it's okay. Most of the time, I know I'm turning this into another lesson here, but it's like all the things that you're juggling in life, sometimes – yes, some things are priorities and they're made of glass, but a lot of things that you're juggling are rubber, you know, and so you can let them drop and it'll be fine. So just remember that.
Good episode, man. Good episode.
Yeah, man. So We really enjoyed it. If you're listening to us over on Spotify, come see us game. Not saying that we're any good at it, but we have fun. So go see us over at the Donut Box Pod over on YouTube. And we will pick this back up next week. It might be Red Dead. It might be something else. We're just going to decide on the fly. So, but yep, had a great time. And we'll sign off as I'm shooting this gator out of the water. I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.
See y'all next time.
Stay classy.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them say we're crazy. I don't